Please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of the Revelation, chapter number 13. We're enjoying our studies through this wonderful book of the Bible. And every chapter has some wonderful helps and lessons for us in them, and some helps to understand what the future holds. Revelation chapter 13, and we'll be looking from verses 1 to 10 this morning. Now, there are lots of details in this book, so please make sure you have a Bible and make sure that you're looking at the Word of God this morning. Revelation chapter 13, verse number 1 says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast." Verse 4. "And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast, and who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, as we look to your word together, Lord, give us understanding, we pray. Help us, Lord, to be like those saints of old in the Old Testament which had an understanding of the times. Help us to be Christians that, Lord, are not ignorant, Lord, and denying what is taking place around us and what the future holds. Thank you for this wonderful book of the Bible, a book of the future, Lord, from all that you know and all that you can see. Lord, help us to see what you'd have for us this morning. Lord, we pray that as a result you would be glorified in our lives, that we would live while the time is at hand, and that, Lord, you would receive honor. For you are the only one that is worthy of worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, as we study through the book of the Revelation, don't forget the inspired outline we were given in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 19. You remember John was told to write the things which thou hast seen. Now, that's the past. The things which are, that's the present. And the things which shall be hereafter. And that's where we are at this morning in Revelation 13. We are looking at the things shall be hereafter. We are looking at the future. You know, God has told us what will happen in the future. He doesn't want us as Christians to be ignorant. Remember, the Bible says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." The Word of God here in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, is for us today. Don't miss it. Yes, it'll mean something great for the believers ahead, but it is for us today as we look and study this wonderful book. Now, remember, we've looked at some of the judgments of the tribulation, and now we're going through a number of chapters that show us some of the personalities that will exist during the tribulation, some of the groups, some of the characters during that time. Do you remember in previous chapters we saw the two witnesses? and we saw the 144,000 witnesses for the Lord. If you remember last message, we saw the importance of the woman, and we identified that woman with child as the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel and the child, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we saw the character of the dragon, Satan himself, seeking to make war against the woman, the nation of Israel, because of his hatred of God's purpose for them as a nation. Because the nation of Israel, from them came the Messiah. And so as we look at these different chapters, remember, God is now teaching us about the different individuals or groups or people that will exist during the time of judgments that we have covered. The judgments don't take place and then these events take place. They take place together. They overlap one another. Now, as we look at chapter number 13, God introduces us to another personality, another character that will exist during the tribulation. And the Bible here describes to us in chapter 13 the personality and the character of the Antichrist. The Antichrist. The Bible tells us that before Christ comes to set up his kingdom on earth, the devil will seek to set up his own kingdom to rule over all. That is what the Bible tells us in the book of the Revelation. There will be a man that Satan will use to rule the world, and he's described right here. Notice verse number 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea. Now, as we'll continue to look in verse 13, it's full of symbolic language. You know, the Bible describes the Antichrist as the beast, a ferocious, violent, wild, and brutal creature. He will come to dominate. He will come to destroy. Now, though he won't be revealed in this world, and he will not step forth into the public light to be revealed for what he is until after the rapture, notice God wants us to know that this is what will take place. And I believe one of the reasons he wants us to know these details, though we won't be here to see them fulfilled, is because, remember, the time is at hand. We are living in the last days, and the stage is being set right now in our world today for the rise of the Antichrist. The title of my message this morning is that very title, The Rise of the Antichrist. And to make it simple this morning, we're going to look at three points. We're going to see the description of the Antichrist. Then we're going to look at the deception of the Antichrist. And then lastly, the destruction of the Antichrist. Notice firstly this morning in chapter 13, the description of the Antichrist. Notice where he comes from. Chapter 13 and verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Here in the Word of God, the Bible says that he saw a beast rise up out of the sea. If you look at Revelation chapter 17 and verse 5, you will see that the waters, the sea, represent peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. So the Bible describes to us that the Antichrist will be a real man. He will rise up out of a nation upon the earth. He will be a real man, and he will be Satan's superman. He will be Satan's super leader, the man the Bible calls the Antichrist. But remember, unlike the Lord Jesus Christ, he's just a man. He will come from among men, but he will be empowered by Satan himself. Notice with me in verse number 3, having seven heads and 10 horns. Now, who is that like that we've already read about? Seven heads and 10 horns. Well, turn back with me to chapter 12 and verse 3. Chapter 12 and verse 3. The Bible says, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great dragon. Well, who is that? Satan. Having seven heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. So here we see that the Antichrist, in his description is the very character of Satan himself. He will be the reflection of the devil himself. Now, when a child is born, by God's grace, we will have another baby soon, most people will look at that baby and say, well, that baby looks like mum. Well, that baby looks like dad. And thank the Lord, our two beautiful girls are beautiful because they look like their mum. Amen. And hopefully, if it's a girl, she'll look like her mum. And what do we learn here about the Antichrist and his ancestry? We learn that he is just like his father, the devil. Amen? He is the same in character. He is the same in nature. He will be under the full control of Satan himself. The heads here speak of wisdom, the horns of power, the crowns of ruling authority. Here we see the difference between the dragon in chapter 12 and the Antichrist, the beast, here in chapter 13. The Antichrist has 10 crowns. He has 10 crowns. In the book of Daniel, chapter number 7, we see that these 10 crowns represent 10 kingdoms. 10 kingdoms. 10 world leaders, which we understand as the revived Roman Empire, the revived empire of the last day. And the Bible tells us that he will rise up among 10 leaders. He will be one of them, and he will rise up in prominence and authority, but understand that is where he comes from. Look with me in chapter number 13. Once again in verse 1. Upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. Upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. The Bible tells us the 10 world leaders from which the Antichrist will be a part, will blaspheme and oppose God. They will curse and reject everything that is holy, everything that is godly, or everything that has to do with God. As we look at his description, that's his ancestry. Notice his appearance in verse number 2. His appearance. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Now, to understand the symbolism that's given here in the book of the Revelation, remember one of the keys we need to use to understand the Revelation is the Old Testament key. We need to look at the Old Testament as well as the New and compare Scripture with Scripture. Look with me to Daniel chapter number 7. As we turn in the book of Daniel, we'll find the understanding of what this symbolism means. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and Daniel should be there. Chapter number 7. Daniel chapter number 7 and verse 3. Notice the Bible says in verse 3, and four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. Here in the book of Daniel, Daniel is given a vision. And the vision that Daniel is given is a description of the great world empires, one after another, right up till the second coming of Jesus Christ. And this is what these beasts describe. Notice with me in verse number 4. And the first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. The Bible tells us here that the first beast is like a lion. And I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. Here we see this first beast that is like a lion, is like the empire empire of Babylon. And like a lion, ancient Babylon was powerful, it was fearsome, and it had a ravenous appetite for destruction and for dominion. Notice with me in verse 5. And behold, another beast, a second like to a bear. Here we see the empire of Medo-Persia. And like a bear, it had incredible power to defeat its enemies. Then we see the third beast in verse number 6. And we don't have time to study these verses in depth, but notice the third beast. And after this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard. After the empire of Babylon came the Medo-Persians, and then after the Medo-Persians came the empire of Greece, and their lust for world domination. This empire is described as a leopard because the Greeks were quick. They were fast to dominate the world. You remember under Alexander the Great, he conquered the known world. And after conquering all the nations he could, remember Alexander the Great was discouraged and depressed that there were no more nations to conquer. And yet he did not prevail. One by one, the Lord knocked down these nations. Why? These empires. Why? Because the time was not yet ready. You see, notice with me, fourthly, the fourth beast which cannot be identified is the revived Roman Empire. The Bible says that there will be a revival of a great empire in the last days. And with teeth of iron, they will dominate the ancient world. Now, as we look at the verses in the book of the Revelation, why is it that the Antichrist is described as all these together? Why is he the completion of all these? Well, is it not because he will have the power, he will have the strength, and he will have the dominion of all these empires put together? You see, he will be the one great world leader that Satan will rise up to dominate the world under his control. And I believe because the devil does not understand God's timetable, I believe that throughout history we can see a rising up of world leaders, but so often do we not see how God cuts them down, one after another, but one day the Antichrist will arise. And let me say this morning. One day he will be received. One day he will be welcomed. And the world today, look up here this morning, the world today is looking for such a man. The world we live in, adults understand, is looking for such a man. You see, today the stage is being set for the rise of the Antichrist. We can't identify who he is other than what we are told in the Scriptures, but let me assure you, the time is at hand and the stage is being set. The world is looking for a man. Writing some time ago in the Wall Street Journal, a leading American financial critic observed, "What we need on Wall Street today," he said, "is a superman. What we need is a superman, someone who has supernatural knowledge to help us out of the mess we are in." And how many of us understand that financially the world is not getting any better? In fact, it is going down, down, down. And the world is looking for a man. They're looking for someone who can take control and solve the problems. Notice the words of Henry Spack, spoken all the way back in 1957. He said this, "We don't want another committee. We have had too many already. What we want is a man of sufficient stature to hold the allegiance of all peoples and to lift us out of the economic morass into which we are sinking." Notice this. "Send us such a man, and be he God or the devil, we will receive him." 1957. Now, things have become a lot worse since then, and let me assure you, today the stage is being set. The world is looking for a man. The world is looking for a peacemaker, a problem solver that will solve the world's problems and bring the world together as one. And my friends, let me assure you, one day, and the time is coming, the Antichrist will arise. But the stage is being set. You see, in his description, we see that the world is looking for a man. And he is the one that will take control in full dominion and power over the world under the power of Satan. Well, we see that very clearly back in Revelation chapter 13. Notice verse number 2. Revelation chapter 13, notice the end of verse 2. The Bible says, "And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority." Who will the Antichrist be controlled by? What does the Bible say? The dragon, the devil, Satan himself. You see, this isn't just Satan's man. This is Satan in a man. He will use the Antichrist to wield his power on earth. The word power here in verse number 2 refers to strength. The word seat refers to his position. The word authority means that he will have the power to do everything that he pleases. In fact, the world will give him that power. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9 says of the Antichrist, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Don't miss it this morning. The Antichrist will have unrestrained power. He will have supernatural power. He will be able to perform miracles in order to fool the world. Now we understand, as we look at the scriptures this morning, that this is the world leader that the devil has sought to put in place throughout history. And one day he will come. We understand that in the scriptures. But let me remind you this morning that the unbeliever during the tribulation, the unsaved individual that doesn't know the word of God, will not see this as Satan's man. They will receive him as Superman. They will receive him as the answer to the world, the great peacemaker, the solution to the world's problem. This man has come at last. You see, in his description, the world is looking for a man. But in his deception, notice the world will idolize such a man. Notice verses 3 and 4. We've seen the description of the Antichrist. Let's move on to the deception of the Antichrist. Verses 3 to 4. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death. And his deadly wound, notice this, was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. You see, the Antichrist will come and show himself to be pure in his motives. He will be a peacemaker. Do you remember he's riding on a horse? Remember he has a bow but no arrows. He comes in peace, but it is a false peace. And he will be received. He will be an object of worship. And the Bible tells us here of the deception of the Antichrist. He will be an object of wonder. Here in verse number 3, the Bible refers to a wound, a deadly wound that was healed. Now there are different various ideas on what this means. I believe this is a literal statement that the Antichrist at some point during his uprising, during his rise to prominence, during the tribulation, he will have an attempt made on his life. He will be wounded. He will be killed. And as the world is mourning and sorrowing after the loss of this one great leader that was meant to bring a heaven upon earth, suddenly he will come back to life. Suddenly, he will rise again. Now, does that sound familiar to you this morning? Is that mimicking someone you might know here this morning? Is that not a deceptive? Imitation of the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, that's what the devil seeks to do. Let me assure you, the devil does not, adults and children, does not have red horns and a tail, and hoofs. That is the stuff of Disney, not of the stuff of the devil. My friend, remember, in heaven, the devil was lifted up in pride because no doubt he saw his own reflection upon the sea of glass below him, and he looked at himself so long, he was lifted up in pride, and the Bible says he was made to be beautiful, and it's his own beauty that led him away into sin, that he was proud of. The devil is not ugly. The devil is beautiful. He presents himself as an angel of light. He presents sin to us as something pleasurable, something beautiful, does he not? You see, the devil knows how to deceive. And the devil's man will be a deceiver. He will imitate the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice, just like a superhero who is standing up and then gets knocked down and you think he died, suddenly he will come back to life. And the world in their response, what will they do? They will wonder after the beast. The word wonder means to marvel. The word wonder means to admire. He will be the object of the world's admiration. And the world will say, this is the hero we've been looking for. This is the Superman. This is the answer to the world's problems. Notice not only is he an object of wonder, he is an object of worship in verse 4. The Bible tells us, and they worship the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? You see, none can oppose him. Physically, he will be indestructible. He will have a superhero's body, if you will. Now, notice the Bible says, militarily, he will be undefeatable. He will have a superhero's technology. He will have access to the latest weaponry, the latest armaments, the latest technologies. He will have an army behind him that is undefeatable. And what will be the result? The Bible says he will be worshipped. He will be an object of worship. The world will be so caught up in the power and the glory and the wonder of the Antichrist that they will actually fall before him and worship him. He will be worshipped. He will be adored. Now, isn't that what Satan has always wanted? Yes or no?
Yes.
Isn't that why Satan wanted man to fall? So that he would receive their worship and not God. But you see, for us as Christians this morning, we know that there is only one who is worthy, amen. We know there is only one who is in control. But to the world's eyes, that one will be the Antichrist. They will see him as worthy of their worship, of their adoration, of their desires. They will idolize the Antichrist. And the world will be fooled by this satanic imitation of Jesus Christ. Now for us today, let's put a little bit of application into this point. Do you realize that if the stage is being set for the rise of the Antichrist, that means that the deception is already taking place today? Is that right? That means the deception is already taking place. The world today, Christian, is being conditioned to receive the Antichrist when he arises. And the time is at hand. When the rapture takes place in an instant, and it may be today, the Antichrist will arise. Now, for us as Christians living in this day today, we need to take heed and we need to understand the world that we live in. I'm afraid for many of us as Christians, we have on our heads what I call rose-colored glasses. We wear them throughout our lives as Christians and we think everything is okay and that everything is fine and that there really isn't any danger in the world or any temptation in the world or any spiritual battle in the world, and we go throughout our lives oblivious to what God has revealed with his own eyes. Amen? You see, we need to put on God's glasses if we're going to see clearly. Now, let me just talk about one subject this morning in relation to the stage being set for the rise of the Antichrist. Let me talk about the entertainment industry. Now, let me say this. The average Christian has no problem watching whatever on, whenever it's on, to the detriment of their children, their homes, and their families. Do you realize that the entertainment industry is the devil's propaganda tool? Now, some of you can say amen.
Amen,
amen, you know it is. And the entertainment industry is the devil's propaganda tool. You see, the world is being set for the rise of the Antichrist. And one day, a man will arise. One that the Bible says, does it not? I'm not making this up. With supernatural powers. He is physically indestructible. He seems that he's not of this world. Is it not seen in the entertainment industry today, the continual putting forth before our young kids, before this generation, the idolization of superheroes? Is that not correct? Every year, there's a new one coming out. Now, many of them have been revived of old. Many of these comic book superheroes have been just brought up and resurrected from the past and thrown in with a whole bunch of new 3D effects and special effects wizardry to make them more convincing. But let me assure you today, The entertainment industry is setting the stage for the rise of the Antichrist. Now you might say, Pastor, that seems a bit too extreme. Well, what have we seen already in the Word of God? A man will arise, one that will bring peace to the world. Now, isn't it interesting that these action heroes, these superheroes that are idolized on screen, isn't it interesting that their motives are always pure? They have come to bring peace. They have come to bring justice. And yet, although their motives are pure, listen to this, they submit to no one. They are their own authority. My friend, Superman doesn't submit to anyone. He is his own authority. And so on, and so on, and so on. They come as peacemakers, but in fact, they have no authority. The laws are simply around them to be broken whenever they choose. That is what we see in the entertainment industry today. And though they have great supernatural powers, these movie characters, in the movies themselves, there is no reality of the existence of God. There is no God. There are demons, there are supernatural powers, but the true, one, living God is not even in the picture. I dare say you'd even find a film today, pumped out of Hollywood, that is, that honours the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the entertainment industry, adults, listen very carefully, the entertainment industry is setting the stage for the rise of the Antichrist. And though these movies are fictional today, one day it will become reality. One day a superhero will arise. Now we understand that this is the Antichrist, but understand what the world is looking for. They're looking for a man. They're looking for a peacemaker with supernatural powers to set everything right in the world. And the devil is setting the stage for such a man. The world will wonder after him. The world will worship him. Now, having mentioned that this morning, here's a question that we need to ask as parents, as Christians, young people. If the world is being conditioned for the rise of the Antichrist, what are we conditioning our children for? Amen? Now, let me put it this way. Are we conditioning our children to receive the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are we conditioning our children to receive the Antichrist? That may be a little bit blunt, but let me assure you today, some of our children need to be saved. They need to be born again. And it is not helping them, parents, by you and I sitting them down in front of the TV and allowing them to watch whatever they want. And then we wonder why they don't want Christ in their life. And then we wonder why they're not interested in spiritual things. And we wonder why they're filled with the lust of the world, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, which the Bible says is not of the Father, not of God the Father, but is of the world. And then we wonder why our children don't want to come to church. You see, the stage is being set. The entertainment industry is the devil's tool, lifting up idols, music idols, in the world. Is that right? Absolutely. Music idols, entertainment idols, sports idols, the lifting up of a man, the lifting up of a hero, the lifting up of one who is to come. And let me assure you, parents, the films of today are having a tremendous impact upon your children. Young adults, you might think you're saved, and they have no effect on your desires. If that's your opinion, my friend, you are deceived. That is the deception of Satan. He is a deceiver. Movies affect our emotions. They affect our desires. You watch a movie that is focused upon all the things of the world, you will walk out with the same desires of the world. You spend time in the Word of God, looking and seeking for the Lord. Let me tell you what, you will find the Lord. Seek and ye shall find, the Bible says. But the question is, what are we feeding ourselves with? Amen? Now, if we're saved, are we preparing for the return of Jesus Christ? Are we being conditioned for the coming of the Antichrist? If we're saved, we won't be here. But my friend, where is your heart? What are you watching? I'm not saying having a TV is sinful. I've said it before. But what are you watching on that TV? The superheroes of the world. Ah, Pastor, it's just entertainment. Just a little distraction. Well, you're bought into the devil's lie, my friend. Just like the Word of God transforms our thoughts and our heart, so too does the entertainment industry. And having worked in the special effects industry for a while, I am shocked, I'm absolutely stunned at the technological capability that is available today to make movies into not just a screen-based entertainment, but an absolute complete sensory experience. I mean, my friends, when you see the 3D animation and graphics and special effects that they are able to do and accomplish today, it is more than lifelike. It is conditioning our generation to prepare for such an event. The rise of a world leader. Now, have you seen something this morning through the Word of God? Do you have a new perspective on what we're up against? My friends, our children's souls are at stake. And it's not just a matter of, hey, just a bit of entertainment. Let me guarantee you, half an hour on Sunday morning in Sunday school is no match for a week load of filth being pumped into their brain. Amen? Amen? Right. You can say amen. Yeah. Sorry, parents, I care about your children's soul. I'm not going to skip over the fact that the entertainment industry is not of God, but is of the devil. Amen. So what are we watching? Who's raising our children? Is it us? Are we teaching them the Word of God? Do they have any heroes outside of Superman? Or Batman? Or the plethora of the other Marvel comic superheroes? And why don't you just put them all together in one movie? Amen? Make a few more bucks and delude more of our generation into being deceived. Because they're being prepared to receive such a leader, such a hero that will come with supernatural powers. Maybe there ought to be some Christians here this morning that will make a choice for God to live for the Lord and maybe be allowed to be used of God in a great way to influence our next generation. Maybe there ought to be some dads here this morning and some mums that will say, I want to be the hero in my children's lives, amen? Maybe I want to be the hero to point them to Jesus Christ. Maybe I need to be the prayer warrior, amen? And believe that God can still work miracles today and be on my knees in prayer for my family and let my family see that there is a God that answers prayer. Amen. Maybe there needs to be some adults in this church that will be prepared to be soul winners, that will get their head out of the TV and get their feet out onto the street and knock on some doors for the glory of God. Amen. Maybe we need to be our spiritual heroes for our children. To show them there is a God that's worth living for. There is a God that is worth telling others about. And there is a God who is greater than the Antichrist to come. Forgive me for speaking my heart this morning. So often we wear rose-colored glasses. What are we doing? We are soaking in the world. Soaking it in. Changed. Molded. As the Bible says, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, you can look it up in your own time. Be not conformed to this world. You're being molded by the world, and you may not even know it. The danger is you're making choices for your children that will go much further than where you've been as a Christian. Will they even be saved? We're seeing the degradation and the falling apart of the next generation in worldliness, even in good independent Baptist churches. And this next generation is waving their hands in the air and they're saying to their pastor, what's wrong with that movie? What's wrong with going to that place? What's wrong with taking part in those activities? What's wrong with a sports hero? My Bible says we only should have one hero, and that is the hero of the ages, the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me remind you, he didn't come as a Superman. He came as a suffering servant, amen? He didn't come to conquer. He came to defeat the enemy of sin. That is our Lord Jesus Christ. And he is contrary to the Antichrist. He's contrary to what we see in the entertainment industry. You know, it's not a pretty picture when you take off those rose-colored glasses, is it? Not a pretty picture. But we need to be tuned in as Christians, because the stage is being set. The Antichrist will rise, and he will be worshipped and adored. Who do you worship this morning in reality? Is it the Lord? Or is it the world and the things of the world? Remember, his deception is for you as Christians and for I as a Christian to worship the things of the world. That is his deception. And we need to be warned. His description reminds us that the world is looking for a man. Now, his deception reminds us that the world is idolizing and will idolize a man. Lastly, notice the destruction of the Antichrist. Are you still with me this morning?
Yep.
All right, you've got to be quiet. The destruction of the Antichrist. Notice that he comes in peace. He promises peace, but his goal is destruction. The Bible tells us here in verse number 5, "And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. What will the Antichrist do with this newfound power? Will he seek to bring unity and peace to the world? My friends, that is not his goal. The Bible tells us his goal will be to defy God. He will defy God. The world will love him, and they will love his words, and what he will speak, the Bible says, are great words of blasphemy. He will speak against God. He will curse God. He will speak evil things of God." Isn't that what the entertainment industry does today? Absolutely. There is no God in the movies. Not the God of the Bible. God is not responsible. God is not in existence. The man of sin, the Antichrist, will blaspheme the reality of God. For how long? For 42 months. That gives us an indication of 3.5 years. That's a description of the second half of the tribulation. If you remember at the beginning of the tribulation, he comes in peace on a white horse, and he brings world peace to the world. World peace is found throughout the world, and there's a peace agreement between Israel and Palestine. The building of the next temple will be built. And on that 3.5 year halfway point through the tribulation, the Antichrist will break that peace agreement. And then his goal will be to persecute, to slaughter, to kill those who believe in God, the nation of Israel, and all those who are saved. He will defy God. Notice he will destroy the saints in verse 7. "And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them." You see, he will turn on the Jews. He will turn on the nation of Israel. He will turn on those who are saved that worship God, and he will seek to wipe them off the face of the planet. So much for Superman. Amen. That is his goal, the Antichrist. Now, many believers, both Jews and Gentiles, as we've already learned, will be martyred for the faith. The ones that will be overcome are not overcome of the devil, amen. Remember our wonderful memory verse? They are the overcomers. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. What a challenge for us to witness today. My friends, we are not in the tribulation. We are just in the time where the stage is being set. These tribulation saints will give their life for the gospel of Jesus Christ. How much should we today? He will seek to destroy the saints. Notice he will dominate the world in verse 7. "And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations." Can you see how the Antichrist will rule the world? Not a portion of the world, but the entire world. Every nation will come under his power, and he will be the ultimate ruler of the world. He will not only dominate the world, he will delude the masses. Notice there in verses 8 to 10. "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." Now, my friends, this verse is crystal clear. Those who are not written in the Lamb's book of life, that is, those who are not saved, will worship the beast, the Antichrist. They will worship him. They will adore him. That's why it's such a tragedy. And God's people today adore the world more than they adore Christ. You see, all those who are not saved will worship the beast, the Antichrist to come. They will bow in worship to Satan and his Superman. Notice verse 9. Here's God's question to us. If any man have an ear, let him hear. God is saying to the reader, to the church, amen? If any man have an ear, let him hear. Let me ask you this morning, have you heard anything? I know it's not something that perhaps has tickled your ears, thank God for that. But is there something that God has shown you that needs to change? Is there something that needs to be worked on? Something that needs to be confessed? Something that needs to be aimed for, amen, to live for God? He that hath an ear, let him hear. God is asking, are we listening? I've said much in this chapter, but are we listening this morning? Notice the last word of hope for the Christian and the believer in the tribulation, verse number 10. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. Let me remind you this morning that the one who will lead people into captivity will one day be brought into captivity. Amen. The one that will kill with the sword will be killed with the sword. Let me assure you, though the Antichrist will rise, he is already a defeated enemy. Amen. Because at the end of the tribulation, after the 7 years is completed, the Bible tells us that the heavens will roll back with a scroll and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords will return to this earth. And my friends, the Antichrist will be destroyed. Satan will be cast into the pit for 1,000 years and the one true living God will set up his kingdom on earth. You see, there's the hope for the believers today and in the tribulation. Notice the Bible says, here is the patience and faith of the saints. Those in that day will have to have patience. Amen? They'll be wondering what's going on, perhaps. They'll be wondering, where is God? But they'll need to put their faith in the same Word of God that we need to put our faith in today. Jesus is coming. But the stage is being set. Where is your faith this morning? Are you ready for the cry of the Lord's return? Understand, if you're not taken away at the rapture, if you're not a born-again Christian, you will be left behind. And you will, like the rest of the world, believe the lie of the devil, the deception of the Antichrist. He will come up with a lie that is so convincing, he will deceive the world. For a reason why there are multitudes missing. You see, the Bible says we need to be saved before it's too late. Let me ask you this morning, are you a child of God? Have you been born again? Has there been a time in your life when you repented of your sins and you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior from sin? Is there a moment in your life and you remember when it was, when you were forgiven forever? See, Christ has come. He is risen and He's coming again. My friends, we must be saved before it's too late. And for those of us who are Christians, we need to have patience and faith. Patience and faith. Brethren, don't lose the plot in these last days. The stage is being set, and the intensification of the devil's propaganda is more intense than ever before. And at a time such as this, we need to be busy about the Father's business. Amen. We need to be busy about the Lord's work, not the devil's work, and not immersed in the devil's world. We need to be about the Lord's business with patience and faith. You know, the outlook is dark for the world, but the uplook is bright for the Christian.
Amen.
Amen? The Bible says, Maranatha, even so, come, Lord Jesus, come. That is the patience and faith of the saints. Let's keep the faith, amen, and stick to God and glorify Him in this day.